for Northern California. So we'll want to hear what you have to say for us today. Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. As John said, we are with ASI. And how many of you are familiar with ASI? Oh, good. That's a good thing. So I won't be. ASI stands for Adventist Servicemen and Industries. Adventist Laymen Service and Industries. And this is the website. So the idea is to create a group of ministries that can help and collaborate with the church to fulfill its mission. And this has been really good, but what I'm going to talk to you today, and I give you an advance on this, is a ministry that is coming to get away with other ministries in the sense of finishing the work and not needing other ministries, but basically getting to the point where the gospel is completed to the rest of the world. Okay, so we'll start with our presentation today talking about Pearl Harbor. As you know, in December 7th, 1941, there was this people that were in Pearl Harbor. They were looking at the radar screens, and they were unable to see. They thought that there was, I think many of you will know the story. They thought that it was just some B-17s coming back instead of following the instructions. And this is the path that the Japanese planes follow. They attacked Pearl Harbor, and then they came back. They came back to... Thank you for the lights. So, the other thing is, we know that today, many people ignore the images that we have in the radar screens also. The Word of God, its reliability. They didn't trust the radar at that time because it was something new. The English had the radar before, so it was something new. They weren't so sure and say, well, should we trust this new invention? And they made a big mistake. Today, we have something better than any radar, the Bible. The Bible is completely reliable and it's truthful because it's God's word. And the only thing that God cannot do is to lie. That's the only thing that it's impossible for him to do, to lie. He cannot lie. Only the Bible has proven to be the much better than any radar screen. Today, people look at different radar screens. So we talk about social problems, financial problems, public health, political, environmental, etc., spiritual health. And we see what is going on, and we don't seem to be clear. If we go to the Bible, if we were going to the Bible, we will see that time after time, we can effectively trace the development of evil or error to two things, the ignorance or the negligence of following the Word of God. And it might be, I don't know, in the Middle Ages, there was some people that believed that the Jews were kind of, you know, doing a pact with the devil because in their communities, they didn't have the same diseases that they have outside the communities. And I'm talking about in Spain and France and Poland and Germany, any place. And why was that? Well, very simple. The Jews follow the sanitary laws of the Bible, and the rest of the people didn't. Today we see the even health problems today. You know, I was helping yesterday a physician, and this person is a young person, 12 years old, and is diabetic, with all the complications that brings. You know, it's a big problem with health. Why? Because we don't follow what God said, you know, basically. Or we can talk about gay marriage. You know, we see that and we get scared and discouraged and all that. But the point is that evil has flourished because we, good people, the ones that have the Word of God, have been so secret, so passive, and just complain that something wrong is going on, but we don't actually do something about it. So, we are told to move forward. How many of you have heard this message that Pastor Wilson, Elder Wilson, preached the other day during in Atlanta? He said, move forward, not backward. This morning, we were listening to his sermon during the annual council, and it was really, really inspiring this morning as we were listening to that. So it seems that there is no problem with the direction. We know that we have to move forward. The problem is that sometimes we're dealing with the speed. So it's not the direction, we know forward, but the problem is with the speed. And since we humans are here only for a little bit of time, now we talk about having how many, 5 or 6 generation Adventists today? You know, so we're talking about that. We're talking about another generation. Our church is celebrating the name of Adventist for 150 years already. I wonder if not on that will also mean that we have not been able to complete the work. Are we moving forward with a stuck brake pedal? That's the question. Because, you know, we can move forward. Have ever happened this to you? That you're moving forward in your car and you don't look at the little brake light there or the pedal somehow stuck under the carpet or something. And you don't realize, but you're moving forward. You say, why is this that the car is going too slow? And then you look, oh, that's why. So that's why they put this message, stuck pedal, because we can be moving forward, but we might not be moving at the right speed. When we go to the Bible, it says that we are supposed to be doing what? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. So we are not only to be passively waiting for God to come, and, you know, the Lord is coming, he has his schedule, and that is truth. But we are not supposed to be doing only that. We are also to be doing it in a way that hastens, in a proactive way. It seems that since the beginning of the Adventist movement, every generation, each one of us, each member, each generation had the opportunity either to advance or to delay the coming of the Lord. Saying in different words, it will be to swim or sink. And if every generation, as we go on to the next one, it means that the previous one wasn't able to complete the work. I was listening to Elder Finley, Mark Finley, prayer this morning. And he was praying, and he said this. I didn't write exactly the words, but he said something like this, and you will have the opportunity to listen to this later probably. It was in the Hope Channel. And he was saying, Lord, we recognize that all our media facilities, our Hope Channel, and all our ministries are not doing enough so you can come, so we can finish the work. So he was recognizing this in this prayer this morning. So we have the opportunity to release the pedal. We have the opportunity to move forward, and not only forward, but also fast enough to go according to God's plans. I want to mention this person because the verse that we read this morning, this person is mentioned in Mrs. White's books 95 times. His name, William Ward Simpson. In Mrs. White's writings, he's mentioned as W.W. Simpson. I'm sure you have read his name there. So this is William Ward Simpson. He was an evangelist. He passed away in his 30s. He didn't live too long. But his favorite verse was Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And Emma read it for us this morning, and it was King James, so I will read it from another version. Well, this is another illustration that shows, if you can see, here is the verse that he put it. This is a prophetic chart, folding prophetic chart that he prepared. A friend of mine, Joe Maniscalco, had the opportunity to have it, and he loaned it to me, so I took pictures of it. And this is a section of this. You see the verse, make it plain upon tables. But I will read it from the Jewish Bible. This is what the Jewish Bible says. Then Adonai, or Hashem in other versions, depending on which Jewish Bible. This is the complete Jewish Bible. Then Adonai answered me and said, write down the vision clearly on tablets so that even a runner can read it. So we're talking about how many years? 4,000 years ago, or I don't know how many years, but many, many years ago. having God giving this vision to the prophet and saying, write it in a way that even if you're going fast, even if someone is running, we'll be able to catch it, to read it. So there are others that are thinking the same thing. There are others that are thinking on being creative and being assertive. And for you of AFCO, you heard me saying part of this the other day, so it will be like a deja vu for you. So, and we have the opportunity to present this at the AFCO class. This is some recent events. As you know, the Pope was visiting the UK a few weeks ago, and he was presenting. The main thing that I wanted to mention to you, I don't know why it doesn't look right, but the main thing is, I know this should be white letters, but somehow there are no white letters here. Okay. Joseph Ratzinger's biographer explains his big picture. The big picture of the Pope is to turn the tables around. Well, let me read it textually. Is that he wants to equip Catholicism in the West to survive in an era of secularism. His diagnosis on how to do that is that you encourage, however small in number they may be, those Catholics who seem most on fire with their faith. The image that he uses all the time is that the church as a creative minority. So he's telling the Catholics in England and on other parts of Europe, you are a minority, fine, but you have to be creative. You have to discern, come up with new ways to proclaim, in this case, their message. So the Catholics in the UK, let's analyze this. They represent less than 10% of the population. That's minority, right? Okay. So, but we, this it says in the Bible, but you are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special people. This is us, right? That you may proclaim the praises of him. So the purpose of being all that, the purpose of being a chosen generation, the purpose of being royal priesthood, holy nation, and special people is one thing, to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are we called? And that is this us or are we talking about somebody else? So now, if we were to count minorities, let's say we just saw that in England, in the UK, is 10% of the population are Catholic, right? So let's see. American that eats their veggies, 26%, it's a minority, right? It's not the majority. Americans that go to church on Sunday, it's a 25%. But let's see Americans that keep, Seventh-day Adventists in the U.S., 0.3% of 1%. So it is a minority? Sure, it is. It's a very small minority. However, our Lord called us to be genuinely creative, just the way he is, because he's a creator. He's creative. So he called us to be like that. And now, more than that, this is a movie that we presented with Elder Wilson. Let me set it back so you can have time to set the sound. Okay, what you're going to watch now is a movie that is a presentation. It's a PowerPoint presentation, but we put it in a movie format. And we had the opportunity to show it to Elder Wilson in January this year. He liked it, and he supported what we did in South Africa. I don't know if you heard that John Ross went to South Africa, Elder Ross went to South Africa, and he took some of these window decals that we produced. He took 2,000 over there to distribute during the World Cup. So we tried to get our message even in the times where people are thinking something else. You know, we are trying to complete something. The video that you're going to watch is a video that shows this presentation. Elder Wilson liked it. We showed it to Clifford Goldstein also. And there was some positive feedback. So I hope you like it also.
Advertising the Advent. Advertising has the power to prompt action and change perceptions, attitudes, and habits. We know that our perceptions, attitudes, and habits shape our character. Speaking about people's characters, let's remember that probation closes for thousands every single day. According to the CIA World Factbook, as of 2009, the world's population was more than 6.8 billion, and it increases with 15,394 newborns every single hour. Which means that every year, our world grows by at least 134 million people. Imagine, in 1 week, we have 2.6 million more people that need to hear the three angels' messages. At the same time, every year, almost 57 million people pass away. That means that 1.1 million human beings pass away in 1 week. How many die without hearing the good news of Jesus Christ? The following chart compares the world population to the number of Adventists in the world. The horizontal line acts as a timeline, representing different years from 1800 to the present. And the vertical line represents millions of people in the world. As we can see, in the year 1800, there were 900 million people in the world, and the world population has continued growing until recent years. By 2009, there were 6.8 billion people in the world. Now, the blue line represents the growth of the Seventh-day Adventist Church from 3,500 members in the world to almost 16 million in 2009. We can see that when our church was established in 1863, the world population curve was relatively close to the church growth line. In other words, our challenge of reaching the entire world with the three angels' messages wasn't as difficult as that of our present day. It's evident that we are ever falling further behind in reaching people with the three angels' messages. However, Jesus' command is clear: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. To preach the gospel to every person means that we, 16 million church members, have to proclaim God's warning to the world, 6,800 million people. Even if the world population wouldn't have grown in 145 years, we wouldn't even be close to reaching the world. In 2009, the church membership was 16 million members. That same year, the world population was 6,800 million people. In 1863, the church membership was 3,500 members. That same year, the world population was 1,300 million people. As we can see, had the world population remained the same since 1863, we would still be far behind in reaching the world. The word proclaim is part of what the remnant church is, yet are we familiar with its synonyms? Advertise, announce, blast, broadcast, circulate, disseminate, expound, herald, make known, publish. A wise man once said, "The person who saves money by not advertising is like the man who stops the clock to save time." In today's fast-paced, high-tech world, marketeers use some form of advertising to make potential customers aware of their products and services. Should we do any less for the gospel? Large corporations spend billions and billions of dollars to keep their name in the forefront of the public eye. Here we see the amount of money spent by the world's main advertisers in 2009. As we can see, there is a large amount of money that is spent in advertising. The question isn't whether or not a business can afford to advertise. Rather, it is a fact that if a business wants to succeed, it must advertise. As Christians, we are in the business of communicating God's salvation to the world. We must succeed. There were some early Adventist evangelists that had the advertising concept very clear. Most remarkably, William Ward Simpson, an evangelist whose work Ellen White liked very much, prepared diverse mission-oriented materials for evangelistic purposes. Around 1900, he produced life-size painted papier-mâché sculpture models of the symbolic beasts of prophecy with his evangelistic work, and on a truck, displayed them through streets to advertise his meetings. Ellen White commended his ingenuity. Once again, we compare the growth of our world population with the growth of our church, and we can see a growing gap, and that our challenge gets even greater as time progresses. When the Adventist movement started, God inspired our leaders to use different ways of effective advertising to share the Bible truths and reach thousands of souls. We must take every justifiable means of bringing the light before the people. Let the press be utilized and let every advertising agency be employed that will call attention to the work. It's clear that out of the different means of communication available, we must focus on obtaining those that have the greatest effectiveness to reach multitudes. If we really want to reach multitudes, we have to use mass media advertising. For example, direct mail, radio, television, newspapers and magazines, the internet, and outdoors. The problem is that media advertising is expensive. And on top of that, we don't really have any advertising-capable media facilities. Here we see the cost of reaching 1,000 people, from almost $500 by using direct mail advertising to radio, television, and newspapers. But let's talk about the most affordable ones. We can see the cost of reaching 1,000 people, from broadcast TV to the least expensive, the internet and billboards, at $3.65 and $2.26. Outdoor advertising can reach thousands of people in just one busy highway. For example, if a billboard produces 44,250 impressions per day, it will cost around $3,000 per month. Outdoor advertising offers the lowest cost for reaching 1,000 people. It also has many more advantages. Examples include: it can be targeted to a specific audience. It's hard to ignore, and it can't be zapped away like changing a TV channel. It reaches drivers, passengers, and pedestrians. It's up to 98, 80, and 75% less expensive than TV, newspapers, and radio, respectively. It has a compounding effect, accessing people in an exponential manner. And it works out for you day and night, 24/7. There are different types of outdoor advertising. Let's talk about two ends of the spectrum. There are billboards, and there are window decals. A billboard seen by 44,250 people per day is considered by advertisers as a 44,250 impressions per day billboard. That's about 1.3 million impressions per month. Now let's consider what a single advertising bearing vehicle can do. Marketing studies tell us that one vehicle with a sign that spends 8 hours on the road in a city with a population of 100,000 will be seen by approximately 5,000 people in one day. Now, let's compare billboards to window decals. In 1 month, one billboard generates 1.3 million impressions and costs $3,000, and ends up with a residual value of zero for that month. In 1 month, 10 window decals can produce 1.5 million impressions. They'll cost $90 for 5 years. And they'll have a residual value of 90 million impressions over 5 years. In other words, since a window decal has a life expectancy of more than 5 years, it can produce 1,000 impressions with only 1 cent. Here in the US, tens of millions of Americans commute each day, by some estimates covering over 3 trillion miles annually. Let's suppose that a vehicle is driven only 1 hour per day. That single hour produces 625 impressions per day. And 625 impressions per day become 228,000 impressions in 1 year. By convention, the more sign-bearing vehicles, the more impressions. 1,000 vehicles driven only 1 hour a day produce 228 million impressions in one single year. 10,000 vehicles driven only 1 hour a day produce almost 2.3 billion impressions in one single year. And 100,000 vehicles driven only 1 hour per day produced almost 23 billion impressions in one single year. So as we can see from the number of impressions that can be produced in one single year, it is possible to turn thousands into billions of opportunities for the Holy Spirit. Now let's review the world population versus SDA membership chart. And what we will do is we will plot the number of impressions from the different vehicles on this chart. If we had 1,000 vehicles on the road, we would have about 228 million impressions. If we had 10,000 vehicles on the road, we would have almost 2.3 billion impressions. If we had 100,000 vehicles on the road, we would have almost 23 billion impressions in one single year. If we had 500,000 vehicles on the road, we would have about 114 billion impressions. And this is only 2.5% of the worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church membership. Therefore, we determine the speed of proclaiming God's message to the world. After all, we are the ones still living on this planet while the Lord waits patiently on us. Do you want to preach the gospel this fast or this fast as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming? If we don't do it, others will. As a matter of fact, others are already doing it. You might be familiar with the No God campaign in the different metropolises in the world. It's even in small cities like Sacramento, California. A question must be asked. Why don't we follow Jesus' instructions? Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak it in the light. And what I tell you in the ear, announce it from the housetops. One thing is clear. We have to do a better work of communicating the undiluted gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Millions to hear the message. The cities must be worked. The millions living in these congested centers are to hear the third angel's message. This work should have been developed rapidly during the past few years. These photographs represent some of the mobile advertising in some parts of the world. It's encouraging to see lay members and ministers together being part of this outdoor evangelistic proclamation. Means will be devised to reach hearts. Some of the methods used in this work will be different from the methods used in the work in the past, but let no one, because of this, block the way by criticism. For some people, these decals are silent witnesses. For others, conversation starters. And some people have even made them a part of their lifestyle. One of these buses generates about 10,000 impressions per day. We can effectively counteract that. Not with one, but with many vehicles, we can produce many more impressions per day. We often speak about bringing the gospel to the world in this generation. The gospel to the world in this generation, is this an attainable goal or just wishful thinking? What is it called when someone does the same thing over and over expecting different results? That's exactly the definition for insanity, doing the same thing over and over expecting different results. These window decals are constantly proclaiming God's message 24/7. The owners of these vehicles are being blessed as they participate in this endeavor. What are you waiting for? Join us in this great proclamation. Do you want to revitalize your church, plant a new congregation, achieve unity in Christ, reach your city or town for the Lord, hasten the return of our Savior, finish the work, and be called a good and faithful servant? If you answered yes to at least one of the previous questions, we can help you. Please contact us at info@adventizing.com. Or visit our website at www.adventizing.com. Thanks for watching, and God bless you.
Honestly, I didn't think that this was going to change. It's going to take life by itself. I have shared this with you. I came here to Northern California just to help with this idea to Amazing Facts. And one way or the other, this is taking life by itself. So it's becoming something that we have now. We have a website, as you saw it, and we're prospecting to other ministries and conferences, unions and divisions, trying to get this idea across. But we understand that we have to do it not only at the higher level, but also from over here, from the grassroots part. And we are part of this. We are part of this. This is where we can do more. Imagine that you have a football field. And in this football field, the grass is kind of on disrepair, and you need to have it ready for the next big game by the weekend. And, well, you want to have your grass properly mowed, so you hire a gardener, you hire a landscaper. And your landscaper say, well, you imagine that the landscaper is coming the next day with one of those machines, you know, to mow the lawn completely and have it ready for this coming event. And then when you come, you realize that the person, the landscaper is doing this. What would you do with your landscaper? And now, by the same thing, imagine, the Lord gave us a commission. Take the message to the world. What have we been doing? We have been letting the grass grow more and more, and it's becoming even harder to take care. So, because as we saw in the presentation, the numbers are against us. But the Lord has allowed the existence of new means. And now, with the internet, websites, and the combination with outdoors, out-of-home advertising. Of course, you have seen a little bit, just the window decals. But we want to go far beyond that. Yard signs, billboards, vehicle wraps, and whatever is exterior, electronic signage, everything. So, do you want us to receive the words of good and faithful servant? Do you think that we're going to do it if we keep doing what we're doing? We have to change. And that's why we are trying to get this. So this is a phrase, this is a quote from the message, the version says, good work. You did your job well. From now, you'll be my partner. This is what the message says. But you know, we know it is good and faithful servants. You have been faithful upon a little, and you will be entrusted with more. For the children of this world are in this generation wiser than the children of darkness. Sometimes we read that verse and we think that, well, you know, even Jesus said that. But he's telling us for us to be aware and take proper measures. We know what's going on here in California. The elections are coming. People are trying to use different ways to advertise and promote their agendas. And regardless who is your candidate or not, the point here is even these people, they were trying, you know, the people that sell marijuana, they have the medicinal marijuana, they call it, and they are against the people that are trying to legalize marijuana, because if they legalize it, their business is over. So what they are doing now is they're taking the streets with their campaign. They're taking the streets with their campaign because they see that they want to vote. They want to people keep it medicine, you know, for medicine, medical uses, instead of getting to everybody. So you see, we have a better cause to support. We have basically not a better, just a better cause. We have the best cause to support. And this quote is from Mrs. White. It says, every true disciple is born the kingdom of God as a missionary. No sooner does he come to know the Savior than he desires to make others acquainted with him. So this is part of who we are. If we are born, then we're going to be exuding this to others. Are we ready for this final call? Are we ready for this midnight cry? In a moment, you will hear a song. I'm going to ask Tiana to sing a song for us. And this song is a special that you saw in the bulletin, but I prefer to delay it at this time. So as you listen to the words of this song, thing that it is not just a wishful thinking. We have something much greater that awaits us. Diana, it's your time.
Children, oh, at the midnight cry. Thank you, Tiana. How do you feel when you hear these words? It's not only words. It can be a reality. And this is the time. This is the time where we have to make up our minds. If we are just, you know, one more Sabbath here, or we want to do something more proactive toward this. This ministry or this movement, if we will try to help us see the advantages of using advertising for bringing the day of the Lord sooner. And there are different ways that you can partner with us. That you can partner in different ways. For example, some of you have already their beacon on the back of their cars. So this is one way to do it. And others could be praying for us, which is very important. Others could start passing this onto your friends, Facebook, you know, the kind of thing. Letting others know about this. We have the presentation that you watch. It is on YouTube. It is on YouTube / Rush is Coming. And that's the way we have the presentation that you just watched. It's in two parts. It's there. And we're working on something more to help other church members to be part of this. And, of course, you can also support this. Support Amazing Facts has these decals. And there are other products that are coming. We are going to prepare, hopefully, soon, yard signs. And it doesn't have to be Bible Universe. What we did in South Africa, for example, we use a subject completely different. We show the winninggame.me. People will go to this website, and then from there, they will, in 200 words, they will be taken from the concept of the winning game, the soccer match, the World Cup, onto the most important game in life. And then, of course, they will be offered the resources for preparing for that, for winning that game. And so, I don't know, I opened this question. It sounds like there's only two sides. It's either we are part of the solution or we are part of the problem. And I feel sad because I spent many years without doing this. I spent many years in church being a good member, helping with different activities, Sabbath school, stewardship, health and temperance, different departments in the church, communication, but it's not only what the Lord wants us to do. We can continue developing the church for many, 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 many more years and keep business as usual, you know, paying the bills and everything, which is good. I'm not saying don't stop doing it. No, but I think this is the time for us to partner with God. And like I said before, this ministry is not only for here and one more ministry. Who needs one more ministry? No, the idea of this is the ministry that will make a way with other needs because the Lord will come. So we won't need more hospitals, we won't need more orphanages, we won't need more churches because we will be in heaven. So that's the idea. The idea is to complete, to analyze. I know the data was so cold. See the graphic? Going this way and the church going this way, they are not going to get together because they are going different ways. But it is possible, and we show it when we plot the data. It is possible, and that's why the graphic became smaller and smaller and smaller, because we were going in higher numbers, so we were reaching more people. I spent a few hours, I spent like 6 or 7 hours at the Coca-Cola Museum in Atlanta. As we went to the GC, we were there several days, the whole 10 days. I spent several hours at the Coca-Cola Museum. I got my VIP pass. So I had the opportunity to ask a lot of questions. And I was reminded of many things that Coca-Cola has been doing to take their gospel, either in the back of a donkey, the back of an elephant, a canoe, or whatever, but they're taking their product, their gospel, to every corner on the planet. What is that we are not doing this? This is the question. So the question is, how many of you would like to be partners, to partner with advertising to help this going across, either with prayers, with the ways that we mentioned, prayers, support, telling others, using the social network sites and that kind of thing, and even helping us with ideas, suggestions. How many of you would like to do that? May I ask you to stand on your feet? God bless you. And more than that, the idea is doing this is not doing this for one person that is here. Doing this is for the final effort, the final push that we need. We need to support not only Amazing Facts, but we're going to support every message that brings the closing events to an end. So we need to, if you, after this message is over, I would like to stay here for a moment. I would like to talk to you a little bit and take your information. In some cases, I have some of your information. And so I can keep you updated of what's going on. And you can also, like I say, there are different ways to support this. And this is not for one person. If you ask me, I feel that I am very inadequate. And I pray to God. I pray to God because otherwise I won't be here before you. This is something bigger than us, bigger than me, bigger than the church, bigger than us. It's Jesus and his work. God bless you. So as we go with the final hymn, we'll ask you, you may see it for a moment. I guess we're going to sing. We're going to stand up for the final hymn. But I will ask you to remain here after the message is over so we can share a couple of things.
Closing song, and there's a actually error in the bulletin. It's 598. It's 598.
As we close. Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us a vision of the work that needs to be done. Lord, we ask that you will guide us in ways that we can further your work, that it may be finished so you can soon come. Bless each one here as they go home today and guide them in each one today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Two things I want to just mention. If you would like to come on the hike, it's going to be up at Weimar at the Meet at the Chapel at 4:30 and Vespers after that. And if you're desiring to get more involved in how you can be a witness, They're going to be meeting right here up front. If you want to know how to do that a little bit better, get involved with the program, we invite you to stay up here. And we ask you all to have a blessed Sabbath day. God bless.